Zondervan presents A Slow Burn by Mary E. DeMuth, read by Renee Rodman. To Wendy, whose regret has been washed by grace and transformed into beautiful redemption. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. Who can save a child from a burning house without taking the risk of being hurt by the flames? Who can listen to a story of loneliness and despair without taking the risk of experiencing similar pains in his own heart and even losing his precious peace of mind? In short, who can take away suffering without entering it? Wounded Healer. Chapter 1. Defiance, Texas, 1977. Worry had its way with Emery, enticing her to stay up late after her night shift, hoping against hope that her missing daughter, Daisy, would walk through the front door, laughing and shouting and singing all at once. It made for groggy, sleep-sloppy mornings, where the only promise of coherence was a cup of joe, followed by a tepid shower. Under the spray, Emery shook hands with her tears, let them slip down her face, run down her chin and mingle with lukewarm creaks of shower water, racing in lines down her skin into the rusty drain, circled by soap suds at her feet. Even then she listened. Turned off the nozzle 3 times when she thought she heard a noise. But Daisy hadn't barged through the front door for 2 months now. Her unmade bed stayed that way, waiting for Daisy's warm 13-year-old body, bronzed from too much Texas sun, to collapse into it. Emery, dripping wet, stood in Daisy's doorway this morning, haunted it, really, and memorized the wrinkle of the sheets. Towel clutched around her as if the day gave a chill, she took 5 barefooted steps into her daughter's room, dropped the towel, and curled naked on Daisy's bed. She didn't weep. That was for the shower. She didn't even pray. Preachers handled that. Every defiance preacher prayed up a storm, she'd heard, but even their multitudes of prayers did nothing to undo Daisy's disappearance. Prayer didn't amount to much. No leads discovered, no kidnapper nabbed. No one but Daisy's dad under suspicion, and he was nowhere to be found. Pray? No. She moaned instead. A guttural anguish she pushed through her lungs, vibrating Daisy's bed. 2 months without her only child, and all she could do was groan, hug her knees, and smell Daisy on the sheets, hoping this whole ordeal was a cruel nightmare, and when she woke up, Daisy'd be standing over her, a sharp-witted look in her eyes, and a sassy, "Mama, you're naked. Get yourself some clothes." Daisy had only found her near naked once. Or was it more? On the day Daisy went missing, Emery lay on the living room floor, half-nude and strung out. Emery remembered the shame, how it felt hot, simmering her face. She had noticed her attire, just a bra and panties, no real clothes in sight to cover herself. Her body displayed like abstract art on the canvas of a hardwood floor.
"Mama," Daisy said, "I'm tired of taking care of you. You hear me?"
Though Daisy's voice scolded, she grabbed a favorite quilt, the one she camouflaged their old couch with because she hated that ugly thing, and pulled it over cold toes, knees, belly, shoulders, and neck.
"There, Mama. There. You sleep. I'm going to see Jed, okay? I'll be back for dinner."
Emery murmured a hungover okay. She pulled the quilt around herself, closed her eyes, and slept away the afternoon, while Daisy played with her friend, Jed Pepper, then disappeared into the defiance dust under his neglectful care. She stood, 30 years old but feeling arthritic all the same. She wrapped the towel around her and headed to her room, where a floor full of dirty clothes made up her wardrobe. A knock startled her. 3 stark raps against an aging door.
"Just a minute," she hollered.
She pulled on a ripped pair of Levi's and a gauzy shirt.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?